This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin, and with me Tan Chung Han and the top business stories of the day.
All right, so we'll start with India's economy. All right, how about this? Their GDP for the first 3 months of this year expanded 6.1%. That is 1 percentage point lower than the Bloomberg Surveys median estimate of 7.1%. In other words, India's economy in the first 3 months of this year grew slower than expected, right? And it is also the slowest in 3 years. Now, why do we care about it here in Malaysia? Because India, at least for the first 3 months of this year, was Malaysia's 10th largest trading partner. So, you know, when there's a slowdown there, or at least a perceived slowdown over there, you know, perhaps, you know, here in Malaysia, you know, given that we are quite reliant on global demand and exports, we might have to sit up and take notice.
Okay, so just to put this in perspective, India's economy is still growing. It's just not growing at the same pace, right?
Correct.
And its growth is still reasonably large if you compare it globally, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But just to put it into comparison, because India had long been touted as the world's fastest growing economy, okay? But with that print of 6.1%, again, for the first 3 months of this year, that is now slower than China's 6.9% that it saw in the same period. And so you've got that title, you know, now being handed over to China. But you know, nevertheless, you know, and we will look at some indicators on China in just a bit. But, you know, going to the why of that 6.1% for India, so essentially you've got economic growth becoming slower, and that's partially due to that clampdown by Narendra Modi on those high-value notes. You recall we spoke about this earlier this year, and it was actually rolled out in November last year. You know, so you've got a society that's, you know, and many economic agents who are still very much reliant on cash, who are then unable to fuel that kind of economic activity. At least that's what the rationale would be. But also, a part of it is due to the ministry's accounting method, you know, to determine expansion. But there are other indicators. Now, to be fair, there are other indicators that point towards a robust Indian economy. If you look at, say, the purchasing managers index, manufacturing and also services sector, you know, those all are showing signs of recovery. You've got, say, you know, food grain output. Okay, that's also, you know, seems to be on the uptrend there. So you've got those signs going. But nevertheless, when you look at the headline print, 6.1% coming in below estimates. I mean, also, I mean, we've got to keep in mind, July 1st in India, they're set to roll out GST. You know, so, you know, we'll find out how much of an effect that might have on, say, domestic consumption, and, you know, if it may, you know, dampen sentiments, etc. But, you know, nevertheless, 6.1%, I think that's the number right there.
Okay, I mean, I think what's also interesting is I'm just trying to find a list of Malaysian exports to the Indian market and whether that will change. We also know we've had news of the setup of particular industries in Malaysia for the Indian market. I believe there's going to be a huge glass manufacturing plant here specifically for the Indian market. So, I mean, will that be affected by the slowdown?
Well, I think, you know, it really depends. You know, now, if you broaden it out to beyond just company-centric deals, but also, say, you know, entire sectors like palm oil, for example. India is one of our biggest importers of our palm oil. So when we look at, say, perhaps signs of a slowdown over there, then, you know, again, those who are, you know, very much reliant on the local palm oil space here in Malaysia, and also just for the broader economy, you know, we got to, you know, basically sit up and take notice. But then when you, I mean, look at China, though. For example, they just came up with their manufacturing PMI that came out yesterday. That indicator seems to signal that at least the Chinese economy's growth is holding steady. It came in at 51.2, I believe. You know, so well, we've got some PMI numbers out for, you know, I think Malaysia and basically many other countries today as well. So, you know, that will give us a good sense as to where the global economy is headed. But at least for right now, we can look at, say, China. At least in accordance with their PMI, that growth story seems to be holding steady, but China, but India coming in lower than expected.
Okay, moving on, we have Morgan Stanley also in the mix. Apparently, it's 16,000 human brokers get an algorithmic makeover.
All right, so very often here on this show, we talk about you know, how the robots are going to take over humans, right? But at least now you've got the likes of Morgan Stanley, who employ 16,000 human brokers. They're actually going to try and have them work alongside
robots. Okay, so you know, here's how this works. So they've got these algorithms that will kind of suggest trades or, you know, take over routine tasks, you know, and even send reminders to these human brokers, you know, say when one of their clients gets married or has a birthday, etc. So then they would be able to suggest, you know, say different investment ideas for these clients, you know, due to, you know, whatever development. So, you know, all these kind of tasks, you know, be it administrative or routine, that can be handled on the robo advisory side, but or at least on the algorithm side. So it still at least wants to retain that human element when it comes to engaging with their clients. Now, this project that is being internally within Morgan Stanley, within the walls of Morgan Stanley, they're calling this project the next best action, whatever that means. But, you know, essentially, at least for those 16,000, you know, they'll be getting the help of robots as opposed to being replaced by robots.
I wonder if, you know, robots have a human interface that would change things, that people would happily move over to robotic, systems if the interface, even if it's run by robots, is more human-like.
Well, maybe, you know, but keeping in mind, this shift, though, is a global one, because even here in Malaysia, you know, we have seen a framework being issued by the Securities Commission to introduce digital investment management, and that's just a fancy way of saying robo-advisory, right? So you have that kind of push going on here in Malaysia as well, so perhaps it's only a matter of time before the robots either help us or take over the world.
Okay, we'll be back with more news after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.